God of new beginnings, we thank you that you are here with us this morning. God, we thank you that you are so often the initiator, that you are active. We thank you that you are good and that you are with us. As we turn our eyes to you this morning, we trust that we will see you, that we will learn something new, and that we will be encouraged. Open our hearts and our minds and our ears for your words. Amen. Good morning, Gathering Church. Happy New Year. This morning, each of us awakened to a new day. This new day was given to us by God, creator, author of life, and God of new beginnings. The same God who places a new song in our hearts and who says, "See, I am making all things new." All throughout Scripture, God offers new words, new ways, and new direction. His mercies are described as being new every morning. And as we read the words of Scripture, there is much evidence that God is active, that God is creative, and that God initiates. We read stories of God's revealing himself in new ways. We hear of God placing new callings on people's lives. We see how new paths and new understandings lead people to new places, to new ways of seeing and experiencing God. We have just come through the Advent series where, as individuals and as the gathered people of God, we were invited to be attentive to a new learning or a new message within the account of Jesus' birth. We read from the gospel account of messages from angels, words in dreams, the birth of the new. And to those in the Advent narrative, to Zechariah, to Joseph, to Mary, and to the shepherds, those words and experiences were very, very new, and they transformed their lives. We read that God sent an angel to Joseph, that God initiated that encounter. We read that Mary said yes to God's new words, and we can most definitely see that these new words sent her life in a completely new direction. And Mary said, "Let these words be fulfilled in me." We read that the shepherds returned with new hope, glorifying and praising God for all the new that they had seen and heard. In sending Jesus to be among humanity, God initiated the new. Someone recently said to me, "How will you make 2026 great?" And I had no reply. That is not often how I look at opportunities of the new year. But it did get me pondering, less about how will I make it great, and more about what new things do I hope to bring into this calendar year. What struck me when I began wondering this was more of what will God bring into this calendar year that is new. As I begin a new year and as we begin a new year together, we cannot know what lies ahead. But what we are tasked with, or more gently spoken, what we are encouraged to do is to finding new ways of God and entrusting God in all things and letting hope grow. My spiritual director says, you might want to keep growing this new muscle of hope in you. So in the new, we are invited to grow new muscles in our faith in God. We know that God is not bound by the calendar year, and yet for us, the closing of one year and the welcoming of a new one does offer us an opportunity of review, of reflection, and of anticipation. And so I'm going to give us just a minute to reflect on some questions that are going to be on the screen. These are questions that you can take home with you and to think about. You might want to take a picture of these if you want to spend further time with them this week. What new work did God do in your life last year? was something new that God introduced you to? What experiences took you to new places in your faith journey? What did you encounter where you were invited to see or to know God's ways in a new light? Let's just pause with those questions for about a minute. May we continue with these questions, and I close that reflection with an amen. I recently received a text from a friend where she said that her 19-year-old daughter described 2025 as the best year of her life, while my friend describes this very same year as one of her hardest. For the 19-year-old, there were many new experiences and new beginnings. A missions opportunity took her to new lands. Moving out and beginning university meant exploring a new city and forming new relationships. But for my friend, her child's new beginnings meant letting go in a new way, parenting in a new season. It also meant that her time was new, and she was having to spend it in new ways, and that she was facing the truth that she didn't feel very well prepared for this new season. New comes in many forms. The delightful new, the new that brings great joy and rich opportunities. This new brings a sense of excitement and expectation, of hope. New also comes in the form of the unwanted and the unexpected. Often in these times, we're only able to see that which just is in front of us. And emotions that we might experience in these times are fear or trepidation, worry in not being able to see very far ahead of us, not knowing what is in store for us. And quite possibly in this time, we have a dip in our faith or we have a blurriness around our hope. New also comes in the form of challenges, new loss, new sorrows, new misunderstandings, new hardships, and emotions that we experience in this kind of new might be disbelief, grief, lament, anger, and disorientation. New is not always easy and easily celebrated. I recently heard the story of a person who was let go of their job at the beginning of a new work day. They were called into a meeting, told the news, and escorted out. They stood outside the building with no understanding, no phone, no car, no person of support. Their first task in this unexpected and unwanted new was to find someone who would lend them their phone. This represents a very hard new beginning. Something new was here. The unknown was upon them. In times of great sorrow, when things do not make any sense at all, when what is new is unwanted, we are invited, we are encouraged, we are challenged to find a new understanding of the ways of God. This is often slow and hard work, and yet we can be assured through faith that God is present and guiding us on new routes, what we find ourselves on. Throughout our lives, we will find ourselves in new situations, experiences, and relationships. New spiritual practices will be required of us. Always in the new, God hears the cries of our hearts, whether they are cries of great rejoicing or they are cries of lament. In each new, we are encouraged to lean into God's promises that he will not leave us, nor will he forsake us. I much prefer the new that comes with delight and excitement. I'd like to sit there always. Mallory called the other day, and I could hear the excitement in her voice. Their closest friends are pregnant. Mallory and Aaron are delighted. And I like this kind of good news. Good news of new life, of new beginnings, of the new formation of a little one. News of joyful opportunities or blessings help us to balance the unwanted and the grievous new that we will experience in life. This is the one of the many things that I marvel about with God, how beauty rises from ashes, how our sorrows can turn to dancing, how the peace of God supports us, and how hope in God, this hope, this confident expectation, fuels us to continue this race, this journey that God sets before us. Listen to some of the promises from Scripture. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And I invite you to join me in reading Philippians 4:7 from the Amplified Version. So we're going to take our time. It's a familiar verse, but maybe from a different version, which hopefully stops us and pauses us to consider. Let's read this together. And the peace of God, amen. We're beginning this new calendar year with a series that focuses on God's initiative in creating new. And we're going to be looking at ways that God calls people into new places or new callings. We'll look at new opportunities that God created for people. And we'll ask God to prepare our hearts and minds as individuals and as a gathered people of God for the new that he has in store for us. And so today we're going to begin with the Magi's journey. As Susanna read a little bit earlier, Matthew 2 begins with, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." From these verses, we know that Jesus is born and that King Herod is still in power. Christ was born, but still people are being ruled by an oppressive tyrant. We also know that throughout the lands, news of the arrival of Jesus, this new King of the Jews, had been heard, and it was spreading. We also know from these verses that there is a new star in the sky, and this new star guided Magi on their journey to worship the new king. The Magi were elite advisors to kings. They were people who had knowledge of the heavens, of math, and of sacred text. And I learned something new this week about the Magi. They were kingmakers. It meant that their endorsement could legitimize a ruler's reign. Their voice mattered. So when they boldly asked King Herod and his followers, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" they were asking a dangerous question in a city which was under Roman occupation. Their question was a direct threat to Herod's reign. Artwork and songs about the Magi often depict them as a group of three men riding on camels. But commentaries tell something differently. noting that it most likely was this group of scholarly people who traveled, some say like 700 miles, with an entourage, and they would have brought with them gifts that were suitable to give to a new king. This changes our image from three men coming to a large group traveling from afar and arriving before Herod, arriving before the citizens. Their presence would have been very, very noticed. This group of magi, I'm going to help us think about them almost as a group of professionals. So this professional group had been actively seeking the star. They were alert, and they had been watching the heavens and watching the calendar year for many years. Think of this as one generation after the other of these professionals looking for this star that had been prophesied about. They had read about it in their sacred text. They had heard about it from the teachings of Daniel. And these magi, those who studied the stars, believed that a new star would be the sign for the new king. And so as wise and hopeful professionals, they actively searched for this star, for this new way. And then scripture tells us, into the sky rose this new star. And it is this star that brings to the fulfillment to the prophecy that Susanna read to us this morning. Matthew 2 continues, we saw his star and when it rose, we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. And then a little further in Matthew 2, we read, the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. The Amplified version of scripture reads, the star went on before them, continually leading the way. One commentary I read this week said, the new star did not behave like a normal star, but moved with purpose as a guide. The light, the star, God's presence was continually there. And the Magi pursued this star. They followed the new light from God as an act of deep hope, because again, they believed in the prophetic words that out of Bethlehem, a ruler would come, and that he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, and he will be our peace. The star stopped. It stayed. It hovered. It was present over the place where this young child with this new king was born. And the Magi entered this place where Jesus was, and scripture tells us that they rejoiced exceedingly, and they fell down, or they bowed down, and they worshiped this child, this new king. Scripture doesn't tell us how long this visit was. We don't know if these faithful scholars and their people set up tents nearby or stayed in places nearby. We wonder if they stayed a good length of time to be near to this new king. We don't know of the conversations that they shared with Mary and Joseph and with one another as they experienced this new beginning. But what we do know is what they experienced was awe, and that their years of waiting, of these hopeful years of waiting for the new, was now over. The star that rose has stopped over the place where the new Messiah is. The star did lead them to a new king who is meant to have a new kind of reign. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. I thoroughly enjoyed our December 21st service with the participation of the youth leading us in Christmas carols and the children singing of Jesus in the manger. My heart was really warmed, and I hold this picture as we stood together in a circle, candles lit, singing, Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. It was a really hopeful moment. It carried me through a Christmas season that ended up with lots of sickness. It was a sacred way of welcoming anew the birth of Jesus, God with us. And it was a gentle invitation for us to allow the light of Christ to come and attend to us and also to go forth from us. And I believe that we are meant to hold captive in our hearts and minds these holy sacred moments. They are meant to linger, to be included in our journeys. Unfortunately, though, the world was not all calm and bright following the birth of Jesus. In fact, Scripture records a most gruesome edict given by King Herod when he realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi. In his fury and in his deep fear of this reign and rule of Jesus, where he thought that his own reign and rule was in jeopardy by the birth of this new king, who was told would reign in peace, Herod gives orders to end the lives of all boys under the age of 2. Can you imagine such a decree from a ruler? Maybe, in fact, we can. I cringe at this horrible part of history. I often avoid it. We don't often include it in our Advent series because we want to focus on the great news of great joy. And yet, there it sits. Hatred, fear, oppressive political reign at the same time that Jesus was born. This is a scene where light meets darkness. After the Magi have worshipped the new king, Matthew 2 tells us more of their story. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they return to their country by another route, by a new road. God intervenes and reveals to them a new route, a new way, where God offers them guidance and protection. This new route takes them away from the destructive ways of Herod. I have read this week that this new route would have been a longer way home, a rougher way home. But this is a new route that they were sent as a protection from God. And on this new route, light shines, proving that darkness has not overcome it. In the Magi's experience, we can see images of our own lives. At times, the ways of God and the direction we are given is just full of clarity. We follow God's ways like the Magi followed the star, and we have confidence, like the Magi, that we are going in the right direction. And when we reach this new destination created by God, we stop, we bow, we rejoice. We linger there, soaking in the goodness of the new, giving thanks for the provision. And also like the Magi, in life, we will encounter new hardships. We find ourselves facing fears. Our life's journeys take us on unexpected paths and lead us to unwanted destinations. And like the Magi, God promises to intervene and to reveal new routes and new ways and new words that lead us through the darkness into new beginnings of light. Isaiah 45:2 reveals God's promise to his people, "I will go before you and make rough places smooth. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth." This particular verse is an assurance of God's support and guidance. God announces to his people that he will go before them, paving the way as they embark on or encounter new places and experiences on their journey. This is a comforting message in the midst of hard. God promises to go before us, not always with the brightness of a star, but with the promise that he is with us on the journey and that he will make a way for us. For he is a God that makes all things new. My hope as we begin this new year together is that when new things come, that we will have the confidence that God will make a way in the good and in the challenges. My hope is that we will be able to hold on to this promise from Isaiah 58:11, that the Lord will guide you always. May we trust in God's guidance as he continues to bring new into our lives. Amen. And let us pray. God of new beginnings, God who initiates new pathways. I think if we are honest, we would say we want the already smooth pathways. We desire the obstacle-free routes. And yet we have learned that life is not always that way. And so, God, would you build in us a courageous hope? Would you grow in us eyes that can see your light in all places? Would you help us to deeply rejoice in the good that comes in new forms, to be a people of celebration one with another in the areas of life that are delightful? And would you remind us afresh this morning that you are always with us, that you will not leave us nor forsake us, that darkness does not overcome the light, that you are good, and that you make all things new. Amen. Trusting that you will guide me and be present and bear light on the journey. Our benediction this morning is from Lamentations 3. It is a beautiful promise. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is our portion, and so our souls can say, therefore, we will hope in God. Go in God's peace. Amen.